What's up, y'all? I'm Amber, aka Ambie, and this is Ambiguity with Ambie, an interview podcast where I speak to guests who have encountered countless spaces and moments of ambiguity and uncertainty to discover and learn from how they navigated it. Let's get into today's episode. What's up, y'all? And welcome to another episode of Ambiguity with Ambie, where we discuss what it's like to navigate moments of uncertainty and ambiguity. I'm your host, Amber, aka Ambie, and today I am joined by an amazing coach, speaker, storyteller, and EQ above IQ extraordinaire, Miss Trina. Hey, Miss Trina, how you doing?
Wow, that was an intro. Thank you. I am doing well. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you for being on the podcast. Now, I've had the amazing and fortunate opportunity to have a conversation with you prior to this and to learn a lot about your story. But for people that haven't had that opportunity yet, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Oh, sure. Well, on a professional level, she said it all. I'm an EQ coach. I'm a certified cognitive behavioral therapy coach and family trauma professional as well. I teach emotional intelligence through several avenues, which are children's books. And I also teach a class called Mindful Storytellers, where I walk people through the process of writing a book in a collaborative way. So we learn all kinds of skills, but we learn the five principles of emotional intelligence, which are self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, compassion or empathy, social skills, and or community skills. I am from San Diego, born and raised.
All right, Cali.
But my headquarters for my company is in Seattle. I live with ambiguity. I travel quite a bit. And so right now I'm in Africa on the island of Mauritius. And I don't know how long I'll be here, but I have chosen to give my son life experiences through travel and education through travel so that he can live outside the bubble of America, that means. And so I got on this parenting journey 11 years ago. But even before then, 15 years ago, I started reading and learning about emotional intelligence as a Buddhist for over 20 years now. I just felt that it resonated also precepts for Buddhism, but also it was easy to explain and digestible. Yeah, I am on my journey as well. And I am, what else you want to know?
That is perfect. That is perfect. And let me tell you, some of the best wedding vows I've ever heard in my life were some Buddhist wedding vows. Shout out to Ilea and Adam. They were amazing. My heart was so touched. So I love that you found that space of connection in all those places. So thank you so much for taking us through your journey and your path. But I want to get to know you a little bit better. Some of the things that might not necessarily be included in the intro. So I have a portion of the show that I like to call Fast Five. Okay. So with Fast Five, I'm going to ask you five random questions. And I just want you to tell us like what your first feeling is, what your first vibe is. And then just, if there's a reason for it, just let us know what the reason is. That sound good?
Sounds good.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So if you had to say what your favorite meal of the day is, we're talking breakfast, lunch, dinner, we can even throw brunch in there. What would you say your favorite meal of the day is?
Okay, so I try to do some intermittent fasting. So really, brunch is my jam. I love brunch. I will do brunch and eat as much as possible. And then be full for the whole rest of the day. You give me a nice brunch menu and it's on. It's on. Because you get breakfast and you get lunch.
The best of both worlds. And then if you are able to sprinkle a little mimosa in there, I'm just
yes. Okay.
A1. A1. So this is not one of the questions, but I have to ask this like as a preference to the next question. Are you a cooker?
Oh yes.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
I'm a cooker, a baker, all that.
Okay. Awesome. So what would you say your favorite seasoning is?
I love rosemary. I put a sprig of rosemary in my pasta water while it's boiling. And then it infuses into the pasta as it's cooking. And I make bread, put some dry rosemary in that. It's just got this wound. And then after that would be thyme. So thyme is my other one. If we're talking herb seasonings. And I love cumin because I love Mexican food.
Yes. Oh, those are some good spices. Those are some good spices. I'm going to have to try the rosemary in the pasta water, though. I've never done that.
Yeah. Even in Italy, I lived in Italy for 3 years and nobody had ever seen that particular thing. And one of my Italian friends said, "What did you do? This tastes different. This pasta, you know." And I'm just experimenting, you know? And so it became a thing for me. So it works.
Well, that sounds amazing. So we're just going to stay in the realm of the food. So you mentioned that you spent some time in Italy. What is your favorite type of cuisine? Like, are you rocking with mainly Italian food? You mentioned loving Mexican food. Like, what's your favorite type?
I love so many different foods. That's a very unfair question.
The next one's going to be even more unfair.
Oh, great. See, I lived in Italy for 3 years, so I absolutely adore Italian food. And it's interesting because the flavors are what I like. When you eat pasta or pizza in Italy, it tastes different than eat it in any other country. Because it has the soil, it has the energy of the place in it. And I've noticed that through my travels, the taste of the food is the energy of the people. You know, and it's just like the love they put into it. So, but I love Mexican food because I grew up on it. Give me some tacos with guacamole and cheese, and I'm just in bliss.
It's amazing. Why did you think I'm
out
here in Mexico?
Come on. I know. I know. The carnitas. And the street food. You could just, cool.
Man. Come on.
Yeah. So now you got me being hungry. Reminiscing. It's hard to find ingredients to make Mexican food anywhere, even in Amsterdam. I finally found a market where I got some stuff, but ain't nothing. There's nothing here.
Okay, so we'll let you get away with two. We'll let you get away with two. Italian.
All right, yeah, because I can't pick between those two. It's really hard.
No worries. Okay, so here is the really hard one. If you can only order from one restaurant the rest of your life, which restaurant would you choose?
One restaurant. Are we talking chain? Because I got restaurants that you probably never heard of.
That's all right. Listen, enlighten us. That's part of the podcast. We're supposed to come away learning something. So it doesn't have to be a chain. It doesn't have to be something
like that. Yeah, there's a place called Pizzeria Toscano in Milan.
Okay.
And I love that place. Really good food. Really good vibe. I don't know. But that's for the rest of my life. There's no place I'd like to order. I cook my own food.
That works too.
Yeah, because honestly, depends who the chef is today.
Yeah.
All those variables, the energy of the person while it's cooking, because you can order from the same restaurant, get a different chef, and go, wait a minute, this doesn't taste different. Mm-hmm. It doesn't taste the same. But yeah.
So, okay. We'll let you slide on that one too. We'll let you slide on that.
Oh, wait.
You got one?
Wait. I love burgers. Ooh. So In-N-Out Burger is what I'm saying.
Okay. Keeping it true to Cali. Keeping In-N-Out it true Burger. To Cali. All right. So we got In-N-Out Burger. So just like when you're cooking, when you're visiting all these different restaurants, sometimes when you step into a new place or try a new recipe, there's a certain amount of ambiguity and uncertainty. So my question to you, my final question of Fast Five is, have you ever faced ambiguity or uncertainty in your life?
Mm-hmm. My whole life.
I've never.
I live in a constant state of ambiguity because of the life that I've chosen. Travel. I traveled most of my adult life, half of my adult life, alone as a woman. So there's tons of ambiguity there. And variables. I did go out and get an orange belt in, so I'm good with that. But yeah, I almost choose ambiguity because there's only one constant in life, and that's change.
Wow.
And I think because I kind of thrive off of different experiences, like my friends and family, are you ever coming back? Are you going to stay here again? And let me tell you, I've lost a lot of connections, friends, because they couldn't accept that I am who I am. And yeah, that ambiguity, there's a freedom in ambiguity because ambiguity gives you the license or the permission to experiment with your life. Yeah.
Wow, that's so good. So can you tell us about a time when you faced ambiguity or uncertainty? Because I know that there's many just from the statements that you just made. I know that there's been many. Can you tell us about a time in life where you face ambiguity and uncertainty and how you navigate that?
You know what's interesting? I'm actually dealing with that right now. I'm in a not very nice divorcing process. And one of the things with that is it changes your need or how you parent, not by your choice, because it creates an instability for your child. And that instability shakes your stability. And so not knowing how visitation and all those type things are going to play, how the money's going to play out, how this is going to play out, you know, because there's child support and or alimony and all these type of things. And I've lived them, you know, separated for quite some time, blissfully, might add. And, but we had a very heart-centered agreement that kind of just fell apart recently. And yeah, that's as much as I'll say about it, but it's created a lot of dis-ease, you know, and it's mainly because I see my child in a place of suffering around it. So that's me. If it was just me, I'd be okay, cool, bye, see you. But that children always create ambiguity in your life. Because you don't know if they're going to fall. You don't know if they're going to have fevers. You never, you know.
No. So we've had a couple people come on the podcast and talk about facing ambiguity with like friends or family or a partner or just a specific type of community generally based on the community being around their age or older or like familial, like I mentioned. Mm-hmm. But what is it like engaging in these spaces of ambiguity with a child that you still have to care for and protect? What has that been like?
It has been a challenge, you know, and, you know, something that I hope he's learning from, you know, like I said, I'm not new to the traveling rodeo.
Yeah.
So I have always been hyper vigilant anyway. So organizing the trauma that I went through as a child of ambiguity and instability, it's probably part of the reason why I like to move around.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we didn't know if we were going to get kicked out of a house because my dad was a drug addict. And so there was always that little bit of instability. So I learned how to be very organized and, you know, project management, you know, everything. So I always say mothers are the best project managers in the world.
Yes.
Don't even doubt. Forget your certification. You tell us what needs to do. We got to take care of A, B, C, D and
absolutely
get to F. And so, you know, it's a challenge, you know, because kids are always changing with their age and their hormones. So one of the things as a parent is that you have to change too. And a lot of times that is where the biggest challenge is, you know, accepting that your child is changing. Mm-hmm. So your parenting style has to change. Your approach has to change. Because unless you want to have a bad relationship with your child, you can't keep them in the bubble of safety that you want all the time. You have to allow them to explore, to fall down. And that's hard as a parent because you just want to say, okay, don't do that because I know it's going to, this is going to do this.
Yeah.
But you have to, you know, pick and choose the moments to let that happen. You could see it a mile away.
Yeah.
And you have to let it happen anyway. So that's what it's like.
Wow. So as you're navigating that space and you're seeing the pitfalls, you're seeing the cliff, you're seeing the ambiguity and uncertainty that your child is getting ready to step into, maybe even if it's not ambiguous or uncertainty, you're seeing this. How did you figure out the process of letting go and allowing them to experience that for themselves and grow from that experience?
I really go back to my own inner child. You know, we all grew up with our traumas. And I always say that we're all just children walking around in adult suits, pretending we have it all figured out while we spread our trauma to everyone we meet, especially our children.
Wow.
So one of the things that I do, and I could even do more often, sometimes as a parent, you get in autopilot when you're just like, got to just let's get it done, right? But one of the things that's vital for your child to learn how to do is to think critical. And so what I do is I really tap into my inner child and say, okay, what would little Trina like to happen here? Okay. Now I'm separate. I'm different. I'm a girl and he's a boy. So there's a big difference I'm learning.
For sure.
And in what I deem as safe and unsafe and all these things. But I've always let him be a wild child anyway, because when you give your child the freedom to fall, they also learn to get up. So you have to give them the freedom to fall so that they can learn to get up, because we are going to fail in life and we're going to have, you know, he's at the age of now boyfriend, girlfriend.
Oh my goodness.
Oh gosh. They've been chasing my boy since he was five. He's a good kid. But I always like, can we just teach friendship? And that's part of, unfortunately, that coupling up at a young age is modeling from our culture that doesn't allow men and women just to be friends.
Yeah.
Doesn't teach boys that girls can just be friends with them. Now, girls can be just friends with boys, but it's a much bigger challenge the other way around. But he has the girl thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I, even though I have said my piece about it, I said, you know, you're going to have so much time to get your heart broken. Just wait it out. But now, since it's insisting, you know, I'm like, I'm not there at school. I'm not in that culture. I'm not being able to say, kids, you can just be friends. I'm not around there.
Yeah.
So I've, you know, had to ask him, well, how did you handle it? What would you have done differently? Mm-hmm. Are you retaining your own feelings of your self-esteem? You know?
Yeah.
Because I think that is the hard part about relationships, is that we start to lose ourselves and we start to measure ourselves against the other person's wills, wishes, wants, needs, and desires. And then we lose our who we are. And that creates ambiguity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. You said so many amazing things as a response to that last question. One of the things that I kind of want to double click on is the concept of balance. What advice would you have for a parent that's out there right now? Because you mentioned that sometimes you got to let them fall so they can learn to get up. What advice would you have for a parent right now or guardian that is trying to gauge balance in when do I let them fall? When do I let them get up? When do I let them fall and extend my hand to help them get up? When do I let them fall and just stay down for a little bit? Like, what advice would you have for a parent or guardian seeking to understand how to better create that balance?
Well, absolutely. It's going to depend on the circumstances. You know, if you're, it's a pretty basis, like, you know, it's a word I'm trying to find. Scenario after scenario could be different. You know, I can't say, you know, if you let your child, if they're teetering on a wall that's 4 feet high, it's different if they're teetering on a wall that's 16 feet high. You know what I mean? So you need to choose. You can think about, is this going to break bones or is this going to scrape? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. Emotions. Is this going to feel uncomfortable for them for a couple of days or an hour? Or is this going to affect their self-esteem for the rest of their life? Those are the choices that you have to think about when you let them fall. And your hand is always there. It's no matter what. I think one of the problems we got with our culture and society right now is this kick them out at 18 type of philosophy.
Talk about it.
And they're still children at 18. We're still children our whole lives. So the thing that I craved and still crave is a feeling of being loved by my family and friends, and that security, that unconditional security of love. But unfortunately, we are programmed in our culture to have conditions, and we teach conditions to our children as well. Yeah, you'll get this if you do this. You know, if you do what I tell you to do, Santa Claus is going to give you this. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you're not going to get that. You know, that's kind of how culture and society, in all its narcissism, teaches us.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm acutely aware, but we are, as parents, are never going to get it perfect because there's no guide. There's nothing out there. I don't care what any parenting expert tells you about their method, about this. Things are in a state of change all the time. And so you have to go with your gut and you have to measure the long-term harm with the short-term.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, wow. And apologize. If you miss the mark, apologize. I know that's a concept. You Black mothers don't apologize. Okay. But the moment I let my ego go and all that old programming, I need respect. I need, you know what? Respect is earned through actions. And that includes the respect of your child. Your child loves you unconditionally until they get to a certain age. And then they have to respect you. And ideally, that's not through fear. Ideally, that's through because mom has my back, or as dad has my back. And I know that without a doubt. So, yeah. Long answer.
Good answer. Oh, my goodness. There was so much. There was so much in there. There was so much in there. I mean, throughout this entire episode, you've given us a lesson on some food and some travel and where we can go get some good stuff, some good grub. You've taken us through a space of divorce and kind of navigating that pain and navigating what it means to be a parent to a child that's along for the journey in the midst of these decisions that two adults are making. You've taken us through the process of navigating balance and understanding the impact and weighing the impact of the decisions and the things that you allow your children to do. And you've even taken us through the advice that you would give in terms of understanding the impact of each of those things that we just previously mentioned. So with all of that being said, what final advice would you have for myself or anyone that is in a position where they're facing ambiguity or uncertainty, maybe in their own lives, maybe as a parent, maybe possibly considering engaging in parenthood? What advice would you have for us?
I always say, when I tell you, I remind myself, because I definitely don't have anything 100% down. But really take time to contemplate and understand the world that we live in now. And do it through a lens of curiosity beyond what you are being told. You know, critical thinking is something that has been lost since the philosophers of the world turned into social media and television. And instead, I always say, you know, what entertainment is what enters you. And I think a lot of times we are so unconscious and going through the emotions or going through the process of just surviving. I say, try to find a way to thrive rather than just survive. Try to find a way to align rather than grind. Mm. And when you have the obstacles, which you will have, look at the externals that are affecting that process, you know, because,
yeah,
my advice is to take inventory and just relax a little bit too, because we really live, especially in America, in a sick reality, a reality of narcissism. And I think when I really woke up to that fact, I did a lot of self-inventory and I went, that's why. You have to take the external with the internal, but you have to understand the motives of the external, the motivation. That's why emotional intelligence is so important. And that's why motivation is a principle. Once you understand the motivation of the people, whether they hurt you or help you, whether they're your boss, whether they're your government, once you understand their motivations, you actually know how to navigate better in life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my advice. You know, that's my advice. But through the all of that, please be compassionate to yourself. Please. Please. One of the biggest problems we have as people is that we are taught that we are born of sin and we are bad. It is human nature to be bad. And I categorically, my tongue's tied. I need some water. I disagree with that. 100%. Because if you look at a new baby coming into holding your arms and you watch that baby grow and you see how generous they can be and how they look at you, there's no sin in that. There's no just being human. But we do live in duality. So that's something that we have to accept. We live in duality. You get the good, you get the bad. But the bad helps you see the good. Mm-hmm. I don't even like good and bad. That's why I don't use those words too often. But we live in duality.
Yeah.
Chaos and calm. Coexisting within and without.
Absolutely. Wow. Such amazing final words and advice, Miss Trina. We appreciate you giving us the time so much. Thank you. For people that want to continue this conversation or maybe want to get a little coaching in, can you tell the people where they can find you, please?
Yes, you can find me at thisreallifebooks.com. There you can see my books for your children of all ages. There's a coaching tab. You can tab on that and book a coaching 15-minute Are We a Fit session, because I only take people who I'm a fit with and vice versa. And yeah, and you can hear my podcast, EQ Above IQ, Parenting with Emotional Intelligence and Healing the Inner Child, on anywhere you see, you know, or listen to podcasts. Yeah, that's all she wrote.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing where people can find you. And thank you for taking time to be on the podcast. It is so appreciated. And a special thank you to all of our listeners out there. Thank you for tuning in. And until we speak again, remember to show yourself some compassion. I'll talk to you next time on Ambiguity.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Ambiguity with Andy. I'm your host, Amber Latrice, and I hope you enjoyed our discussion about navigating the uncertain and ambiguous parts of life. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform. And if you'd like to help support the podcast, please be sure to share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at I Am Amber Latrice. Thanks again. And until we connect next time, I encourage you to embrace the uncertain and ambiguous moments of life. Talk to you next time on Ambiguity with Ambie.